Ladies and gentlemen, we're educating Archie. Sooner or later, every boy wants to be the proud owner of a dog, and this week Archie proves that he's no exception.
Now, Archie, my boy, what would you like for Christmas?
Well, Bruff, can I have anything I like?
Of course, my boy, anything you want. Just name it and you can have it.
I want a dog.
Archie, I don't think you should have a dog, my boy. I'm sure you wouldn't be able to look after it properly, and it would mean more work for poor old Grimble.
Oh, I don't think Grimble would mind, really. I'll call him in and see. Grimble.
Yes, you wish to have words with me?
Oh, yes, Grimble, I do. Look, I want a dog for Christmas.
Oh, why don't you have a turkey like everyone else?
No, I want Bruff to buy me a dog as a pet. You wouldn't mind, would you?
No, I like dogs. I used to have a dog at home. It was a watchdog.
Oh, what did it watch?
Television. Oh, go on, Mr. Bruff, buy Archie a little dog. Don't you like dogs, eh?
Well, yes, of course I do, but somehow dogs don't seem to like me.
Oh, go on. It'd be lovely having a little puppy around the house. You get ever so fond of them.
Oh.
I was very unhappy when I lost my dog. The police took him away.
What for?
Begging.
Huh, don't be daft. All dogs sit up and beg.
I know, but this one went round with a hat. Terrible trouble. I was fined £5 and the dog had his license endorsed.
Oh, now, come on, Bruff. You said that I could have anything I like for Christmas, and my first choice is a dog.
Well, what's your second choice?
Jane Mansfield.
Oh, that settles it. You better have a dog.
Oh, good. Good old Bruff. Oh, I'm going to have a dog.
Good. I'll go with Archie and help him to choose one.
No, you don't, Grimble. I'll send my secretary, Miss Pearl Carr.
Oh, why can't I go with them?
Because, Grimble, I don't think you're capable of making a good choice.
Oh, you're always on at me, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I am not.
Oh, I hate you.
Mm-hmm. I can't see any little dogs in the window.
Oh, well, there's bound to be some inside. Come on, let's go in. Come on.
Oh, good morning. We'd like to buy a dog.
Then you've come to the right place. Just a moment. Quiet! It's true. Drive her around the bend, they will. Now, miss, welcome to Monty's Menagerie. What can I do for you, then?
Well, I've brought this young lad in here because he wants a pet.
Well, you can use the back room if you like. I'll close my eyes for you.
Oh, now don't mess about, Mr. Monty. We're here to do some business with you.
Good. Pull up a hedgehog and sit down.
Well, perhaps you'd care to show us a selection.
Quiet. Don't move. He's got out again. Don't panic, miss. Get back in that cage, go on. Back down. Give me a chair. I'll soon have him back. Go on. Ah, you bite me, would you? Back, I say. Go on. That's got him. Lovely little budgie, isn't he, eh?
Yes, and look at those colours. Blue, green and bright red.
Yes, it's one of nature's miracles how a little bird like that can grow these lovely colours all on his own.
Yes, and may I touch him?
Not yet, miss. The paint isn't dry.
Oh, now look, Mr. Monty. I don't want a bird. I want a dog.
Dog? Dogs are out of fashion, Nipper. People are going in for unusual pets these days. Now then, do you like snakes?
Oh, I don't know. I've never tasted one.
We've got a right one here, haven't we? You need a haircut, Nipper. Go and shove your head in the woodpecker's cage.
Oh, come on, Mr. Monty. Show us some dogs.
No, miss. I've got a better idea. Now, why not buy a couple of crocodiles? Lovely pets they make, and you grow your own handbags.
Oh, Mr. Monty, the dogs, come
I'm
on.
I'm sorry, Nipper. There's not one dog in the place.
Oh, no. That was a dog, and he's in your back room. Here, come on. Cool. I say. Cool. What a whopper, eh?
Yes, he is a bit big. I combed him this morning, and 3 white mice fell out.
I've never seen such a big dog. Oh, what breed is he?
He's a wild flugelhound. They're trained to hunt flugels, you know.
Well, what's a flugel?
Nobody knows. That's what makes them wild.
Oh, look at him. Oh, he likes me. Oh, here, what's his name?
Come Tiny.
tiny.
Yes, but he's not for sale. He's too valuable to sell.
Oh, what a shame. And Mr. Bruff gave me £10 to spend on a dog.
Done. Shall I wrap him up or will you ride him home?
Oh, jolly good, jolly good. He's mine. Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, while you and the dog get acquainted, I'll see to this other customer.
Good morning, Mr. Monty.
Why, it's Ronald Chesney. Here, what's he doing in here?
I've got a canary that whistles off key. He comes in every day to tune his harmonica.
Now, that's not true. Ronald Chesney sounds very nice. If he plays, I'd like to sing.
Blimey, another off-key canary. All right, get together, you two.
This is my happy-go-lucky, happy-go-lucky day. I got out of bed the right side. Now I'm looking on the bright side. For this is my happy-go-lucky, happy-go-lucky day. When the bluebird said good morning, I knew my special day was dawning. I've got the craziest feeling, everything's going my way. Every hour and minute will have happiness in it on my happy-go-lucky day. The craziest feeling, everything's going my way. Every hour and minute we have happiness in it on my happy-go-lucky day.
Well, it was great fun having a real life dog all to herself. Yes, I grew to like Tiny more and more every day. But old Bruff, Grimble and Miss Carr were always grumbling about him.
Oh, it's no use, Archie. That dog will have to go. It's ruining everything, my boy. But Bruff, yes, it is. The guard's in a shocking state. He will keep burying old bones.
Yes, he's had a go at you twice.
That's enough. That's quite enough. That dog's a positive menace. He frightens the life out of the neighbours.
And he's always going for the tradesman.
That's right. Only this morning he bit the postman in the middle of his early morning delivery. That dog will have to go.
Oh, no, please, please don't send him away, please. He'll soon settle down.
And there's another thing.
I thought there would be.
You pander to that dog far too much.
Yes, and I have to do all the pandering. Hmm? That dog's so lazy that when he feels happy, I have to push his tail to and fro for him.
I don't believe it.
It's true. I have to do everything for that dog. It's most embarrassing when he feels in a devilish mood. I have to go and chase cats up a tree for him, and when it comes to feeding him, it's murder.
Well, what's so difficult?
He's so shaggy, I can't tell which end is which.
Oh, well, now that's easy. You hold a bone out to him, and if the end nearest to you doesn't bark, you nip around and give it to the other end. He's quite easy to manage, really is.
I don't care, Archie, that dog is going.
But, Bruff...
Now, look, my boy, I'll buy you a smaller one. Anyway, this one is far too expensive. Costs a fortune to feed.
Yes, I spent £15 on dog's meat this week.
15? Is there any money left for our food? Have you spent it all, or will we have to eat horse meat? Answer me that.
There isn't, I did, and you already have.
Oh, Grimble, don't tell me for the last few days I've been eating horse meat.
Well, I thought you might have found out by the way the milkman's horse keeps winking at you.
This dog business has gone on far enough. It's quite obvious to me he'll have to go.
Oh, Bruff, please let him stay. Just for a few more days. I'll keep him under control. Honest, I will.
Oh, well, all right, Archie. You have just one more chance.
Oh, thank you.
But, by the way, where is he now, the big skulking brute?
He's outside. I can hear him whining.
That's not him whining. That's the wind whistling through his whiskers.
Well, he's not coming in this house again.
Oh, well, he won't. He's in the garage. I tied him to the front of your car.
Archie, I thought you said you tied him to the front of the car.
Yeah, I did.
Well, then how did he get away?
Well, I didn't... Crikey! Look what's dangling round its neck.
What?
The radiator.
Well, that settles it. That dog must go.
Well, knowing that my dear old Tiny had to go, I spent as much time with him as possible. And one day, I found something very strange about him. Oh, I couldn't wait to break the news to Brown.
Archie, I thought I told you not to bring that dog in here.
But, Brown, I found out something very unusual about him.
What?
Yes, he can talk.
What?
Yes, Tiny can talk.
I don't believe it.
But he can, listen. Now, come on, Tiny. Who's this gentleman? Now, what's his name?
Now, all right. Very funny. Now, come on, get him out of here.
But, Ralph, he can talk, really. He can answer questions. Now, come on, Tiny. Here's one on film stars. Who was Marilyn Monroe's first husband? Come on, think. He was a great baseball player.
Ruth.
There you are, you see? Babe Ruth.
Oh, but it wasn't Babe Ruth. Sorry, Tiny, you were wrong. Have another guess.
Joe DiMaggio.
See, he's got it right. The dog talks, yes.
Well, I never.
Oh, yes, it talks, yes.
Well, I never.
Go on, I bet you have.
I don't understand it. That dog's been here a week. And if it could talk, why didn't it say anything before?
Oh, couldn't with you around blabbermouth.
Oh, he's intelligent as well.
Yes, he's got a grand sense of humour. Listen, Tiny, what happened when you went to join the army?
They didn't want me.
Because you were C3?
No, K9.
Well, Mr. Bruff, you can't get rid of Tiny now.
Well, yes, he does seem an unusual animal, doesn't
he? He's not so unusual. I went to the local theatre last week and saw a talking dog.
Yes, I believe I did see one once. It was a good act, you know. Man who owned it really cleaned up, made a fortune.
Yeah, Bruff, couldn't I go on the stage with Tiny? Just think of the money I'd make.
Yes, that's right, Archie. For once, you're talking sense, my boy. Ah, but what's the best way to go about this?
I know. We're meeting Mr. Pygrave today, aren't we?
That's right. We promised to meet him at the recording studios and then have some lunch.
Good. Oh, well, then we can take Tiny along with us and get Mr. Bygrave's advice.
You know, you shouldn't take your great big dog along to the gramophone recording place.
Well, why not?
Well, you chase that little dog right down the loudspeaker.
Oh, well, never mind about that. Come on, Tiny. We're taking you along to meet Mr. Bygrave. Come on, my boy.
Archie, you've arrived, and to prove it, you're here.
Oh, hello, Mr. Bygrave.
Hello, boy. Here, what's this, an Aberdeen Angus?
No, that's my dog, Tiny. Here, what do you think of him?
I can't tell from this position, he's sitting on me face. I think he likes me, you know, he's just bitten a lump out my leg.
Oh, does that mean he likes you?
Well, he hasn't spat it out.
Oh, he'll be all right in a minute. Now, come on, just make friends with him.
All right,
Tiny.
All right, I'll stand on that chair and pat his head.
Yeah.
Now, down, boy, down. No, just relax. Now, stop it, Tiny, stop it all. This is a recording studio. People might think you're Lonnie Donegan. Now, shut up. Shh. Now, why you brought this dog here?
Well, something very unusual has happened.
I know. You opened the paper this morning and there wasn't a picture of Tommy Steele.
Very funny.
What's the matter, Mr. Bruff? You've got a sore throat?
Huh. Now, that wasn't my voice. That was the dog's.
Oh, must be a husky. That dog talks, I don't believe it.
I can't talk, I can.
You see, that noise definitely came from that dog's mouth.
Now, wait a minute, let's work this out. Either it's a talking dog or there's a wonderful ventriloquist around here. Yeah, it must be a talking dog.
Yeah, you're right, Mr. B, it is a talking dog.
Yes, and not only could it talk, but it can answer questions. Now, go on, try it, ask him anything.
All right, listen, wait a minute. Tiny, tell me, what is 6 and 5?
11.
Not bad, you know. He's only 2 out.
Oh, Mr. Bygrave, just think of the possibilities. We want to put Tiny on the stage.
Yes, and he'd fill the theatre.
He certainly would, and there might be room for 2 or 3 people as well.
Oh, Mr. Bygrave, will you help us, please?
Now, let me see. Yeah, I could take him along to my agent.
Mr. Bygrave, we're all set up to record your number now.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Yes.
I'll be over in a minute.
Yeah, can we come and listen, Mr. B?
Yeah, but keep that dog away from the music stand. Go on, get
out. All right, go on then.
Nothing is as sweet as the song of the cricket. Nothing can compare with its melody.
Oh, that's nice, Mr. B.
Nothing has a beat like the song of the cricket, filling all the air like a symphony. Folks who go for nightingales and meadowlarks are wrong. There is nothing like the cricket chirping out his song. I will always go for the song of the cricket, where he makes his home. That's where I belong. 'Cause I love the cricket and his song.
Oh, that's cute, isn't it, Dad? Tell me some more.
Hello, little cricket. You're a nice little thing, aren't you? How old are you?
Ooh.
Tell me, little cricket, what's your name? Davy? Bless my soul, Davy Cricket.
Oh, he's cute, isn't he?
Do you mind if I pick you up? Here you are, then.
Careful.
How's that, nice? Isn't he sweet, Archie, look?
Oh, it's lovely, isn't he?
Folks who go for nightingales and meadowlarks are wrong.
Yep.
There is nothing like the cricket chirping out his song. I will always go for the song of the cricket, where he makes his home. That's where I belong. 'Cause I love the cricket, cute little Davy Cricket. Yes, I love the cricket.
Graves was a great help to us. As soon as he'd finished his recording session, he took me and Tiny along to see a big agent who specialised in animal acts.
Good morning, Cynthia. Is the governor around?
Oh, yes, Mr. Bygraves. We got your phone message and you're to go straight in.
Right. Come on, Archie. We'll leave Tiny out here.
Righto.
How do you do? My name's Chappington Chappie.
Ah. Tell me, are you in charge of this important agency?
Yes. That's a lot for a start, what? How nice to see you again, Max. By Jove, I did enjoy your stage act last night at the Prince of Wales.
Did you? I'm not at the Prince of Wales. I'm at the Opera House, Manchester. You must have seen Sabrina.
Did I? You know, I thought you'd put on a bit of weight. Well, what can I do for you? What?
Well, I didn't come here to talk about me.
No, that makes a change, doesn't it?
All right, laughing boy. Now, look, this is Archie Andrews, and he's got a sensational new act for you.
That's right, Mr. Chappie. I've got a real live talking dog.
By Jove, a dog that talks.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Outside, making a phone call to his girlfriend.
I see. He's having a powwow. Or should I say bow-wow?
I've got a right one here. You shouldn't have said anything, I don't think.
Well, I'll call him in. Tiny, come on. Boy, Tiny. Come on, boy.
I say, he's come straight through the wall.
That's Tiny for you. Got no use for doors.
I say, what a whopping great dog.
Yes, he's half Alsatian and half Nelson. And just a touch of Shetland pony.
Now, come on, Tiny. Come on, that's it, boy. Shake hands with the gentleman.
See, look, clever dog. Got manners. See him take his gloves off.
Extraordinary, yes. It's the first time I've seen a dog wearing white gloves.
He doesn't wear them all the time, you know. He's been doing an impression of Al Jolson. Thank you.
Thank fascinating. So this dog can do impressions too, what?
Oh, yeah, he can impersonate animals as well. Come on, Tiny, impersonate a dog. That's it.
Tick, tock, tick, tock.
What sort of dog is that?
Watchdog.
Yeah, and he knows nursery rhymes too. Come on, Tiny, say the last line after me. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get poor Tiny a bone. When she got there, the cupboard was bare.
So I bit a piece out of her leg.
I say, that's not right.
I know, but I was starving.
There you are. Now, how about that, Mr. Chappie?
No, I'm sorry. I couldn't book him. He's such a funny colour, you know. He's got a brown body, but a long black tail.
That's because he's so big. You see, when he's indoors, the only place for his tail is right up the chimney.
Really? I bet it'll frighten the life out of old Santa Claus. I'm sorry there, but none of us agents are interested in animal acts. Too much trouble, old boy.
Oh, but Tiny won't be any trouble.
I wouldn't be too sure. Once I put out a bill of all animal acts, even had a flea circus. One night the fleas got drunk and ran off with the performing dog.
You're missing a fortune. This dog can count.
Oh, that's another reason why I don't want him. I never, never book an act who can count their wages. That's why I stick to comedians, you see. Terribly sorry, nothing doing.
All right, you'll regret this. Come on, let's go and try somewhere else, Archie.
Oh, gosh, look out of the window, Mr. B. It started to rain. Here, got an umbrella?
No, we don't need one. We can all walk underneath the dog.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I say, nice house you've got here, Mr. Bygrave.
Yeah, and I'm glad to be back in it. I'm fed up with traipsing around those agents. None of them wanted your dog.
But what are we going to do with Tiny?
I don't know. Let's clip him and stuff the sofa.
But, Mr. Bygraves, I'm worried. If Tiny won't earn his keep, Bruff won't let me keep him.
Well, Tiny doesn't seem to care. Look at him, sitting in my armchair, reading the papers.
Yeah.
I bet he's doing his pulls.
He certainly is marvellous, you know. It's the first time I've seen a dog reading a newspaper.
Yeah, I'm wearing my glasses. Here, Tiny, what are you reading? Are you interested in football?
No, dogs.
Dogs?
Yeah, some of my best friends are dogs. Listen, there's a dog running at Harringay tonight who thinks he's going to win the third race. But he's not.
He's not? How do you know?
Well, the other dogs told me they're going to trip him up on the first bend.
The other dogs are going to trip him up?
Yeah, it's not his turn to win tonight. He won last night.
Now, just a minute. You say it's not his turn. You mean to say the dogs work it out between themselves?
Well, of course they do. They've got a strong union.
Here, Mr. Bygrave, I've got a wonderful idea. Let's take Tiny to the dog track, and he'll find out which dog's going to win.
That's a good idea.
So,
this dog is going to the dogs. Yeah, come on, Hoggy. Right, off you go, Tiny, and find out who's going to win the first race. We'll wait by this bookmaker stand.
All right. Chop it off.
Now, while he's gone, we'd better find out the way the betting's going.
Yeah, that's it. I'll leave that to you, Mr. Bygraves. Here, try the bookie on the end. Look, honest punchy.
All right, I will. I say, what's the odds?
That's what I say, yes. What's the odds as long as you're happy?
No, Mr. Bygraves meant, what odds are you giving against the dogs?
Six to four the field. But no betting on the hare. I've lost money like that before.
You're the sort of bookie I've been looking for, yeah. Will you give me 10 to 1 for what's in trap 5?
It all depends. What's in trap 5?
A mouse.
Oh, yeah, that's funny, that is. Yeah, that's humorous. Yes, I like a bit of humour. Yes.
Oh, why not? We're all human, aren't we?
Yes, that's even funnier, that is. You ought to be on the stage, yes. Well, yes, with a bit of luck, you could be another Mr. Bygraves. Yes.
Well, you really think so, do you?
Yes, we could do with a second Max Bygraves. I'm a bit fed up with the first one. What dog do you want to bet on, then?
Well, we're not sure yet. We're waiting for some good tips.
Yeah, you see, our dog has gone to talk to the greyhounds. Then he's going to come back and tell us which one's going to win.
Oh, your dog is going to tell you which dog is going to win? Yes. I got in my condition through boxing. What's your excuse?
Look, there's nothing wrong with us. It's just that we've got a talking dog.
Well, who hasn't?
You are. Here he comes. Look, he's Tiny. Good boy. Now, come on. Now, what's going to win the first race, eh?
Trap number 6.
Here. Did you hear that? Your dog said trap number 6. You know what you've got there?
Yes, a talking dog.
No, not only that. He's a rotten picker. Yeah, number six couldn't win if he had four more legs.
Now, never mind. Now, I'll take a chance. I'll have two bob on trap six.
Hey, you got this wonderful tip, cert information, and you're only putting it on 2 shillings?
He's a talking dog, but for all we know, he might be a liar.
Right. I'll take the bet. You're on.
Mr. Bygraves, look. See? They're putting the dogs in the traps.
Good. Now, let's watch the race and come back and collect the winnings.
Righto. Come on, then.
Oh, here comes the air. Here comes the air, Archie.
Oh, good. This is exciting.
They're off. There goes number six, Archie. Oh, look, Bouncing Bessie. She's out in front of the first bend.
Yes. Oh, I'd say she's very nimble, isn't she?
She's running on the rails. Get back on the track. That's it. Go.
Yes. Come on, Bessie. You're winning. Come on, Bessie.
Here is the result of the first race. The winner, Trap 6, Bouncing Bessie.
Archie, we've won. Oh, Tiny was right. Good. We've won.
Well done, Mr. B. I say, look at that other poor dog still running. Look, he's run right out of the main entrance.
That's not a dog. That's our bookie.
What?
Never mind. We've still got our talking dog. Here he comes and he's bringing the winner to meet us. Isn't that nice?
Oh, look. Isn't that sweet? Oh, I say, he's walking straight past us. Hey, Tiny. Here, come back. Tiny, where are you going with Bouncing Bessie?
Brighton.
Here, but... Look, all that money sticking out of your collar, did you ever bet yourself on that race?
Here, a fiver.
Well, you can't leave us like that. We're on a good thing.
So am I. So long.
Well, Mr. Bygraves, he's going. Oh, I say, he's known lots of lady dogs, and he's never wanted to go to Brighton before. I can't understand it.
Well, perhaps he's never had the money before. Happy Christmas, Archie. You going to join me for some Christmas dinner?
Yeah, right, oh, Mr. Bygraves. Where are you going?
Battersea Dog Zone.
Oh, happy Christmas.
First concern in this latest attempt at educating Archie were Peter Brough, Dick Emery, Pearl Carr, Peter Hawkins, and our special guest, Max Bygraves, together with Ronald Chesney and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fenderland.